Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Branchaninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
In the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and forever.
Amen.
So welcome back. We are going to have this book study today and next Sunday, next Monday, and it's enough for the year. We will start early in January. It always seems like when you announce like break during like this end of the year, it seems like, oh, we will meet in next year, but well, it is just a few days. So we are going to continue on this his teaching of Saint Branchaninov, you know, on this true and false humility. And at first he gave us some signs what is false humility, and now he tries to give us medicine or tools how to really come to a real and true humble heart. So let's continue on page 190, and almost half page up to here.
Do you wish to acquire humility? Follow the commandments of the gospel. Through them, your heart will acquire and assimilate holy humility, the qualities of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. The beginning of humility is poverty of spirit. The middle of the path toward humility is the peace of Christ, which surpasses all wisdom and understanding. The end and perfection of humility is the love of Christ. Humility is never angry, never tries to please men, never gives way to sorrow, never fears. Can the person who has at the beginning determined himself to be worthy of all sorrows ever feel any sorrow? Can the one who has condemned himself to suffering as the only way to salvation ever fear calamities? The saints of God came to love the words of the good thief who was crucified near the Lord. During their sorrows, they would usually say, "We receive the due reward of our deeds. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." They greet every sorrow with the admission that they have deserved it. Holy peace descends into their hearts merely for words of humility. It brings holy consolation to the bedside of the sick man, to the prison of the one behind bars, to the one persecuted by men and demons. The cup of consolation is brought by the hand of humility, even to the one crucified on the cross. The world can only bring him vinegar mixed with gall.
So we can find in these words, we can, if we want to take out some kind of pills or medication for healing our heart from pride and to acquire humility, so we can find three like pills there or ways. The first one is to keep commandments. It repeats again and again and again in teaching of Holy Fathers that they put it as a fundament for a spiritual life. It's really in the beginning of our journey towards perfectness and holiness. This is like basic step to know and to keep commandments. Or I would say to know and to try to keep commandments. Because without that, we are out of God's will. Without that, we are not able to build anything in our life, spiritual life. And the second is to acquire like this poverty of spirit, which is the state of heart when we see our weakness. And the third is to approach suffering with the thought that we deserve this for our sins. There are three pillars, and if we take like each one, so it is each from these three ways are very difficult, very not pleasant. When we are starting our journey towards God, it is like the most horrible thing to conquer ourselves, to really somehow take these advices and to follow them, because it seems that it goes against our nature, it goes against our everything what we built in this mental construction, abstraction in our mind so far, and now everything is so difficult, and we have to really conquer many thoughts. I don't know if I mention it during homily, I think during week. If I remember well. You know that I'm doing some kind of this reflection on Isaac the Syrian for this Catholic TV, or Byzantine Catholic TV in Slovakia, and there was one video, and under that video, on this reflection, there were like comment on YouTube that somebody wrote that those are very beautiful words, but we live in different time. And when I thought about this, and I understand the person who wrote this, and he wrote the truth, because if we really take like these Christ commandments, so it seems to us that it's almost impossible to keep them in fullness in this world. This is impossible. But we forget that, and that it was impossible, that the same feeling was in the minds of people of each generation, each century. Because if we cannot like have the thought that like 500 years ago it was easy, it was not easy. This gospel is always challenging for man, because gospel brings us or forces us to acquire this nature, true nature we lost through fall. And this nature is, we say that, well, we have this wrong picture. We say that we live, what is natural is we consider everything what is in the world, how world is, way of life in the world is, we consider this is natural. And when we are called to follow gospel, to follow God's will, we have this feeling that it is going against nature, what is nature. Well, but opposite is true. We have to realize that it is not natural, this life of this world. This is something what is corrupted, broken, and we are afflicted, infected by this, and we have to obtain really this true nature. And this some kind of time is confusing when you read Holy Fathers, and they say about nature, so but they mean something totally different than we it is in our mind. And it means that now when we should follow commandments. So first thing what will happen is that we hit this false nature we adjusted to. And this nature, this way of life we adapted from the world, start to protest. And this is why we need to do violence to ourselves in the beginning. A beginner in spiritual life who doesn't want to make violence to himself or herself will not make any progress, and their zeal will disappear very soon, because they say, well, it's impossible. So we have to really be aware of that it is difficult. When we are making decision for spiritual life, for life with God, we have to start that it is hard work. It is really war, and because we have to defeat at first ourselves, our way of thinking, our way how we see world, how we see ourselves. We have to really break this, and then we can start to defeat passions and bad habits and everything, but with this clear understanding already. And this clear understanding, what is right, is what is God's will, what God calls us, is really to know commandments, know truth. So what we are doing here, even like this during the book study, and we have this experience, and during these years we found explanation of many commandments. We found what does mean to this commandment or this commandment in many of these topics we went through. And we realized that well, I didn't know that, or I was not aware of seriousness of this. This is one thing, and this is like inner rebellion in us we have to conquer in the beginning. And then when we do this, then when we conquer this rebellion, so then what happens? We start to see that yes, we want to follow these commandments. We know these commandments. We know the gospel. And we see, okay, this is what I want. And then I see my own life. And I see, well, I am too far from fulfillment of this gospel truth. Well, I'm very far from that. I'm trying, but I'm very far. And in one moment I realize how far I am from God, how far I am from really to serving Him, how far I am. And what this causes is this pain in heart, that I know that without His help, without His mercy, without His help, without this His grace, I will be not able to reach my goal. I will be lost totally. And this state, when I realized that well, how far I am from God, and I need His help, and I start to, as an answer to this pain in heart, I start to search and beg Him for help, coming for the liturgies, praying more. And because if we know our weakness, from this knowledge, naturally prayer comes. It's impossible not to pray very often and to say this, oh Lord, have mercy, or to say Jesus prayer, or to, if we know our knowledge, so it's connected. No, knowledge, to know my weakness causes that my prayer is born from that. And it's a good sign. It means that I am close to this fulfillment of this beatitude. The first one, that blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those because they are able to beg for help, ask God for help. And it, this really changes your life. You know, when you come to this, so suddenly you realize that you are losing like taste for many senseless things, you know, foolish things. That suddenly even like good shows, which were good at the time, they lost this taste and even things we liked before. Suddenly you are always like, heart pushes you always to this thought that, well, I need help. I need God's help. I have so little time. So this is one thing. And then the third thing is that then I am in this position when I even these things which come as a not justice, offenses, difficulties of lives, which touch us, I see them suddenly as a, at first I understand there is some kind of, in my mind is this thought that, well, it came from weakness of that person. I am just on the same boat, so I can understand that person is weak, and because of this weakness, this evil came from this sin. So this is some kind of this understanding and some kind of solidarity. I feel pity on the person. I pray for the person. One thing, and another thing is that I start to understand, because I clearly see my own weaknesses and sins, I said, well, it's okay, I deserve this, I deserve even more. And he says this, that, well, when saints suffered, they really thought about this good thief on the cross, who admitted that, well, we deserve this because of our deeds. But we were talking about this before, but look, what I want to remind, because it's very powerful and we should keep it in mind, is that when he confessed and he admitted that we deserve this, it was his confession, he admitted that he did wrong thing. And immediately after, he turned to Christ and he asked him to come to his kingdom. Can you imagine that what he saw? He saw a man who was hanging on the cross, suffering as he suffered, and he saw in him God who can give him kingdom. So, and what is the explanation of these words? And Isaac Grancheno explains this, that not directly, but, well, this connection with other Holy Fathers, they say the same thing, that when we admit our pain, our sins, our weakness, immediately grace comes. God gives us grace. He comes to and he wants to help us. And what this grace does is that we start to see clearer. It means that this help from above opens eyes of our soul. And it happened to this good thief, you know, that when he confessed and he gained this grace and he was able to see in this crucified man God, who can give him eternal life. And he asked for this eternal life. So we have to realize that we are, that each this suffering, even it's, we see that as that is not justice, but when we start to see that as an opportunity for us to admit that yes, maybe now I'm suffering without reason, but there are thousands of sins I committed, I was not punished, and I deserve the punishment. And if that moment I turn to my heart and I confess and admit that I'm a sinner and I deserve, always it attracts God's grace. And somehow we will see more with bigger clarity. And we are able to start to beg for help, start to beg for salvation, for mercy. So it is. Those are very good pills, difficult, but we have to learn this art, Patrick.
Something you just said, I'm just surprised it just hasn't dawned on me before, because you just, the way you put it, after he acknowledged his sin, he immediately asked for salvation. And Christ didn't say, no, you're a sinner, you can't have salvation. Look at that. This, you're sorry now, but it's too late, yeah, and all that stuff. Christ didn't do any of that. As soon as he asked, he got it.
Yeah.
And I know for times it's easy for me to accept my sinfulness and to acknowledge my sinfulness, but to have the audacity to ask Christ for forgiveness or to be brought into his kingdom, it's exactly what he wants. It's exactly what he wants, yeah, me to do. And it's not audacity, it's exactly what he's waiting for. Acknowledge your sin, ask for help, and he's, you're in. It's just, that was.
It is, really it's easy, and we can have hope in his mercy. Like Isaac Syrian, he says that our bodily sins are like, what is this? Fist of sand thrown to ocean. Through the ocean. And so it is like nothing. But the problem is that this our confession has to come out from this state of heart, which is really broken and really like from bottom, ask for this, because there is, if we just say without involvement of this heart, of this like full our soul, although I'm a sinner, I sin many times, even I don't know my sin, but I'm sure I'm sinned a lot of, but I'm sorry for everything, because we were taught that we should do this. So we do this without involvement of this process, this decision for following commandments, without searching what is truth, what is commandments, without knowing depth of our sins and weaknesses. Without that, we cannot, we are not able to say these words, to ask for salvation, for help, and to obtain his grace and mercy. So this humility of heart, this state, it's very important to reach, because it opens doors for God's mercy, for salvation. Many people are in danger in present time, because many times we stay on this level, we learn something about faith. We went through some kind of this education, and once we finish that in high school, usually, it's really rare that we continue. We might continue in reading books to learn more about church, about Christ, about theology, but we don't have this urge to study these God's commandments or God's how to live our life with Christ. You know, I reminded several times this Psalm 119, this is the longest Psalm, and it is about this like prayer of man who asks God to teach him commandments, to understand commandments and to keep commandments. It's the longest prayer, and I'll look at Psalms, the longest prayer is about that. Is asking God to teach me. And because we don't have this, like this is not present, this thirst for that. So I think that many people, I think, will have a very hard time because, well,
but. I was going to say, people would say to me in their 30s and 40s, well, I used to be Catholic, but I don't believe that anymore. And my first question was, well, when did you stop receiving education in the church? You know, like, and it was either 14 or 18. Okay? Yeah. And I would tell them, well, if I was 35 years old and I had an 18-year-old's understanding of the Catholic faith, I wouldn't believe it either. You know.
You sure?
But you don't have an 18-year-old's understanding of economics. You don't have an 18-year-old's understanding of anything.
Yeah.
You know, you've continued to grow in every other aspect of your life, but if you're not growing in your faith, you have a child's understanding of the faith. You have an adult mind, you know. And people who would come in with their non-Catholic fiancés or relatives or whatever that wanted to become Catholic, and they would sit in those classes with them, the light bulbs going off over their heads. It was just as good for them as it was for the non-Catholics, because it's stuff that they weren't taught when they were children, and we're treating them as adults now, and teaching them as adults, and it deepens their faith. So you're exactly right. If we just get on that plane and we just stay on that one plane.
Yeah. I think that I just want to to put it on correct somehow, not to make excuses for people, but I think that there is a big we should blame even church, like hierarchy, a lot of, because I think that we neglected this formation. And I read one article recently, and it was about spiritual fathers, these like guides, you know. And it was a thought that it actually disappeared, and he made several points why this disappeared for people who are not searching for this, so God doesn't give us spiritual fathers. But he said that another thing is that it was connected with that priests were started to be understood like managers more of parishes, so they spend 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I said that this stability was broken, and actually they didn't have time to really grow and to become real spiritual fathers, because he said it takes time. Like for parish priests, those who are like saints and masters, that people come to them. Well, this different case, but he was talking about this aspect of parish priests. He said that they have this grace to become a real spiritual father, but they need time for that. And this is one thing. And I think with that, this formation disappeared, you know, because you cannot form a soul, have to form a soul somebody if you don't know that person. It takes time. And another thing is that, and this is, I would say, the part, probably I am repeating experience of many other priests who say that when we start to read, like for instance, study this and all these other holy fathers, the question we have is why nobody taught us this in seminary. And we had a lot of subjects there, and we were. What is fine, I'm not against anything. I learned a lot of, but I think that nobody taught us. We have this group like the study of spirit, of the art of spiritual life, but nobody taught us what is this art. Nobody taught us how to acquire this, to become masters in this art of spiritual life. And so if I don't know something, I cannot to give to somebody. It's like story. I forgot details, but it was that said by a priest who was visited by his parishioner, young parishioner from his previous parish, and he was like already in like third or fourth year in seminary. So this young man came to visit his previous former priest, and so he came for liturgy, but he came earlier, so they started to talk, you know, and this young man, he wanted to show his wisdom, and he started to talk about this very, very specific questions and speculation, theological speculations and everything to show that, well, he learned something. And this priest was like, listened to him and then went to a church, prepared for the liturgy, and the priest told him that he showed and one very old lady in the back, and he told him, "Look, this is better theologian than you are." And then the young man then explained, demanding explanation, and he said, "Look, she is coming every day very early, and she prays because then she tells me always I need to a lot of pray because I want to go to heaven." And he said, "She understood the theology better than you." Well, he was a little bit sharp on this young man, he knew him, but I think he gave him good lesson. So, but we didn't get these lessons as a priest, you know, that in our formation. I probably here it was the same. This is the same situation. And so there is some kind of this missing link, missing aspect of pastoral work. And not this wrong, bad intention. Everybody tries to do the best for people, but sometimes you cannot give what you don't have. And or you have not really correct understanding of this service as a priest. So, well, anyway, we spent too much on this first part. So let's continue. Maybe make some kind of progress.
The humble man is not capable of anger or hatred because he has no enemies. If any person hurts him in any way, he sees that person as a tool of God's justice or his providence. The humble man gives himself completely to the will of God. The humble man lives not his own life, but the life of God. The humble man trusts not in himself, and so he constantly seeks the help of God and constantly remains in his prayer. A branch heavy laden with fruit stoops to the ground, but a branch with no fruit continues to grow up without any purpose or use. The soul that is enriched with evangelical virtues plunges deeper and deeper into humility, and in the depths of this sea it finds precious pearls, the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Well, there is some, he gives us several signs which are like decoration of a humble man. But it's not easy for us to accept these words because it is calling for a change and we know that, well, we are not there, and we know that to get there, it's really difficult. It's calling to change of whole life. But when we are trying, so we are getting deeper and deeper. Just when we are talking before, when we acquire this understanding that, well, we are weak and there are a lot of weaknesses, we know our weaknesses, and so we don't see ourselves like on a pedestal somewhere, on the high, we're so low and that we need help. So then we start to experience that, well, God is really helping us. And once we realize that, so then it is like encouragement for us to continue in this way. I remember experience one priest that when he was like in seminary, he told me that, well, he was surrounded with his friends who were like perfect, almost in everything. They had skills, he didn't. And so like whole seminary, he was thinking that, well, how I will be doing the parish if I don't have all those wonderful skills my friends have. And it was really putting him down. He saw himself like not worthy. He was trying to do the best, but it was this some kind of seeing himself that, well, I try to do the best, but, well, those my friends, they for sure are doing better job. And there was one moment when well, I want to make this story short. When his parish was visited by a group of people who were going from parish to parish, some kind of offering, like some kind of evangelization, you know, this program. So they visited all his friends and other priests, and in the end, they were supposed to come to him, and he said to himself, that I said, well, now they will be so disappointed, because after this all this great experience with the great priests, they come to me, and he didn't feel like comfortable, but he agreed because of people. And when they were leaving, they said, you know what, this was the best stay. And he was surprised. He was very surprised and said, well, he realized probably God, only he said this, that, well, he thought this, oh, his words were that probably God helped because I don't have the skills as the others, you know, so there's God's help. But what I want to say is through this story that once we acquire this humble heart, when we don't depend on, and we don't trust ourselves, we don't depend on our power, our wisdom, our... So God comes with help. Or we are opening a gate for God's mercy, God's help, God's grace. For God's acting, we are putting this God's grace to active mode, I would say. And it helps us to really keep ourselves in humble state. Saint Isaac Syrian, he says about that, because we are we want acknowledgement, we want our glory, we want some kind. It's normal that we were created for glory in the presence of God. And I would say that this desire is in us, but it's deformed. It's aimed to the wrong direction. But so we hesitate to put ourselves down. or when we try to be humble, so we think that we are putting ourselves down. But Isaac Sirin, he says, and I like that, what he said, that if you become nothing because of God, without knowing, your glory will multiply during your life. That if you become nothing because of God, without knowing, your glory will be multiplied in during your life. And you can see that in these like saints. They were running away from the world. They saw themselves like not worthy. But the whole world was running to them. They did nothing for the glory, for some kind, but God takes this. And I think maybe it was Isaac or somebody else. He said that God's angels will announce your glory to the world, you know, if you humble yourself. There is one saint. I can't recall name now, but there's a story from his life that he was living in the close to city, not too far, and he was accused by one man from the city from something, and so he didn't defend himself. He took it as I deserve to be so I'm a sinner, as we are talking. And when the time came that this man was dying, he couldn't die. So he asked relatives to call this saint, this man, that he wants to him because he accused him and he wants to ask him for forgiveness. So they came to this man and this monk, and they said, well, he wants to see you. And it's okay, I will come. But he started to think, if I go during day, so everybody knows that, and everybody would praise me now because I was accused falsely, and now they would want to glorify me for that or something. So he said, no. I will go, but in the middle of night. May nobody sees me, nobody will say glory or nothing. So he went. When he got to the city and he entered the street, suddenly two angels with very powerful lights came, and they were like shining, that like this even with stronger light than from sun, that everybody could see him walk into this to this house. Now, And this is not only story, there are so many other stories how God elevates those who try to humble themselves. So we should trust God in this. All right. Let's continue. Mm-hmm.
Pride is a sure indication of a hollow man, a slave to the passions. It is a sign of a soul that has blocked all access to the teaching of Christ. Do not judge a person by his appearance, and do not decide that a person is proud or humble by how he looks. Judge not according to appearance, but you will know them by their fruits. The Lord told us to recognize people by their action, their deeds, and from the consequences of these deeds. I know your pride and the anger of your heart. It was said of David, but God witnessed to David's righteousness. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. The Lord does not see a man, does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Blind judges often consider the hypocrite and lowly people pleaser to be humble, while he is rather an abyss of vanity. In contrast, these ignorant judges consider the one who does not seek human praise and glory to be proud, because he does not constantly appear before their faces. But he is the true servant of God. He has experienced the glory of God that reveals itself only to the humble. He sensed the stench of human glory and turned away the eyes and senses of his soul.
This is a very important part, because he says something what can bring some kind of clarification for us. We have to realize that true humility is born from knowledge of truth. You have to know truth about God, about his will, and about your heart. And from that, true humility is born. When this knowledge is missing, so you have no other way if you want to somehow keep this face of Christianity or pious person than to pretend that you are humble. And this pretending is something what is really causing huge deformation in spiritual life in in people. And he says this, that, well, if we make this judgment, we are many times we are we see this illusion of humility. Many people, they try to look humble and they act this way, and we feel that it's not right. And everybody who tries to for deeper, like some kind of relationship with God, we can recognize that, well, it is something wrong. Even a person says right words using like this humble way, how tone of speech and words and face, but we see that this falseness there, it's not attractive. We prefer to keep away from those people. But many people who are not formed, you know, in hearts through God's commandments, they didn't come to knowledge. They really see those people as humble, as pious. Otherwise, they know that those who are a little humble and they really know truth about God, about God's teaching, God's will, and themselves, and they act upon that, they can be seen by other people like proud people, you know? Even Pilate saw Christ as a proud when he was standing there and he didn't want to answer. So Pilate, he thought that it is like that he's full of pride. And this mistake is, we are making the same mistake too, because this true humble person is not, you cannot put it like with this
stereotype.
Like we have the stereotype of person, humble person. We see features of face, how he speaks, how he acts. But this stereotype is not correct. Humble person is that one who knows the truth, and the person doesn't pretend anything. Because to pretend something is just another like sin, weakness. He's like a real person, but still it's he knows truth, and this truth puts state of his heart to correct position, correct state. But others, they don't see, they might not see that as a humble person. they can consider him as a proud person, and this is why this deformation of our understanding is seen this way, you know. Well, I think that we will stop here.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you, and God bless.